Hello, my fellow seekers. Welcome to Into the Work, therapy for empaths, seekers, and the intuitively driven, where you have front row seats to therapy sessions and expert interviews that will help you define the important work that you're here to do. So I guess you actually have something better than front row seats. You practically have a seat on my couch. That's right, you will have unrestricted access to actual sessions with real people exploring real life issues. You will continue to be inspired by powerful conversations with experts and healers that might just share exactly what it is that you need to hear to get unstuck. I am Michelle Poverman. I am a recovering people pleaser and former anxiety-driven empath turned now mostly grounded psychotherapist and intuitive coach. I have been helping people for almost 20 years manage their limiting beliefs and anxiety to finally stop the self-sabotage and step into their gifts. I created this podcast, Into the Work, to give you a place to learn more about yourself and give you actionable strategies to finally move those roadblocks holding you back so you can go for what you want. Above all else, my hope is that this podcast is a catalyst for your awakening. If you're listening, you've already taken a step towards getting off of autopilot, and our next steps together will be taken episode by episode, waking you up to the possibilities, the new ways of thinking and being, so that you can stretch into that next level of your story. The spark has already been lit, and my friend, this is a journey from spark to brilliance. So together, let's light a fire. Hi, Stephanie. Welcome to the show. Thank you so much for being willing to share your feelings and thoughts here today. I believe the more people like you who share their authentic experiences like this, we all get to learn.
Yeah, and actually, I'm excited to talk to you. Oh, I think this will be really interesting. And your podcast is such a unique concept. I'm happy to be able to contribute.
Yay. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm so happy you're here. So, Stephanie, you have shared with me that you would like to discuss what it's like to build a business as an empath and a sensitive person. I know that so many of us who are, especially us entrepreneurial empaths, it's a little bit of an interesting, unique twist to it. So I know you want to address any blocks you might be having with your business, financial success and other stuff, believing in yourself. And you also mentioned just really breaking through the invisible wall that you might be running up against. I think a lot of us understand that invisible wall, but I definitely would be interested in hearing what your thoughts are on it. So where would you like to begin?
Where should I begin? Let's start with the invisible wall.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, let me ask you this. So just so we have the concept down, the idea is the invisible wall is something blocking you. And maybe you could tell me, how do you define the invisible wall? What is it blocking you from?
So my invisible wall, so for my business, I feel like I have this, you know, a good concept. And anyone I introduce the business to is, you know, I get really positive feedback. But there's this, and almost like in terms of a feeling, I can almost like right now, I can visualize this plexiglass door that I just can't get through. So I know I have this great concept, but it's requiring me so much effort to get it out into the world and make it successful that that's my wall. It's the I feel like it should be easier. And it's not. Yes, that's my wall.
And so maybe to also help clarify this for you, tell me, how do you know if there is a wall that you can't break through? So I get you saying like it should be easier, but how do you know there's a wall? Can you tell me like what you notice about it? When does it come up? What triggers the wall?
I think it comes up most of the time. And I was actually, it's funny that we're talking about this today because like I was talking to my therapist about this. I don't know why this particular thing came up, but it corresponds. That it's when I ask this will be good. It's when I ask for help. So I talked about this in therapy, and for years, any time that I've actually put myself out there and asked somebody else for help, or thought that someone could help me, like a mentor or even like a manager at work before I, you know, started my own business. I felt like I'm not getting the help that I'm asking for. So I stopped asking for help. And I feel like it's the same thing now. I'm not really asking anybody. Well, maybe I am asking people for help in a different sort of way. But I don't feel like people are super receptive. And okay, so you're an empath and you know this. Like, we are super helpful people because we can feel what other people are going through, right? So when somebody comes to me and asks me for help, I'm all in. It's like I jump right into the pool and, you know, I'll do whatever I can to help. And I guess maybe because the rest of the world isn't necessarily empath, they don't respond the way that I would respond. And we go out of our way to help people. And maybe we have high standards of help. We hold ourselves to being these like super helpful people. Mm. Yeah. So that's my
love. Can I introduce this thought to you and see how you feel about it? And I don't know if this is true for you or not, but I'm starting to pick up that it might be. I'm going to use my own language here, okay? So there is this concept that I have that we, as many of us, not all empaths per se, but many of us are what I call like wisdom keepers, right? So we hold space for other people. We listen. We hold space. We marinate, we are curious, we ask questions, we are there. And so that is our form of helping. And as I call us wisdom keepers, it is like the type of empath where everybody is coming to you, right? And it becomes a comfort zone for us to be is the wisdom. We are the comfortable, most comfortable in sitting in our power as wisdom keepers, right? And so a lot of us will find as we get older that we're looking around and we're like, who's there for me, right? Because we go through and we build a life based on, and these relationships based on being the wisdom keeper, because it's really just an easy role for us to step into because it is within, it's our gift. That being said, it is also how we stay safe. It's also how we get loved. It's also how we feel valued. And so we don't change that or shift that or jeopardize it by making ourselves vulnerable too often. And what I find with wisdom keepers, and this is it right here, and then you can respond. But what I find with wisdom keepers is that we become very judgmental around how other people show up for us and we find it very rare to find that other person who can show up and match us with what we do for other people. And so we tend to really just say, well, I can't go there with anybody because nobody really is going to be there for me the way that I like. And we feel rejected. We feel irritated. We feel agitated by other people's responses to us when we ask for help or be vulnerable. So I don't know if that resonates with you, but
it does. You like hit the nail on the head. Totally. And I don't think I've been able to verbalize it as well as you just did there. Yeah. So what does an empath do? Because nobody is going to be able to match us with how we respond to other people. And then we just sort of you give so much and then you're like, oh, you know, what am I? And one day you're like, what am I going to get?
And I'm going to add a layer in here that it is also when we get into business talk, right? We also become the lone wolves because we find ourselves like not wanting to reach out, not wanting to bring other energies in that are going to be difficult, not wanting to bring other energies in that are going to be too much, but also not wanting to bring other energies in because we don't know they're really going to match us, you know? And so just to bring that other layer in the discussion in is I can see that happening for you too, I bet. So
you want to hear something crazy? I do so many different things for my business and I'm thinking, oh, I should get an intern. Because they could do this. This is really simple, but I don't want to because if I mess something up, I can fix it. And I have such high standards that I don't want to trust anybody to come in and help because they won't do it as well as I do it.
Right.
Okay. Even something simple. We're not cleaning the house. Like my husband will do, some stuff, but he's not going to clean the bathroom exactly the way I'm going to do it. So why mm-hmm. even have him do it?
Right.
But that's the.
Yeah. And then so then we kind of cross into, our controlling boundaries and also cross into as like sensitives, we can cross into overgiving and overdoing and over like through perfectionism, overdoing and over giving and overextending ourselves. But when I look at it for boundaries as empaths, I also see it as a compulsion. Anytime you say, I have to. I got to redo the bathroom because I know that it's not going to be, I have to, or this person needs this from me. I have to do it. Anytime you say, I have to, it becomes like this compulsion from an overgiver, overextender, and in some kind of lines up in there. So I don't know if you can relate to that. When you feel there's no other answer, there's no other option for you that I have to, I want you to consider that it's a compulsion versus a truth.
I need to write this down. That's good. Compulsion versus truth.
Because it is your anxiety. It is your belief system. It is all the things working in our subconscious, right? And our subconscious world is crazy. We know that we use 15% of like our brains, like to be present, to be conscious. But 85% of our existence is based on our unconscious drives. So like, if you think about it, all the belief systems you have that make you say, I have to do the bathroom, all the belief systems that are back there, like they're playing a role that's pushing you through. And I think those beliefs are helping to drive the compulsion. It kind of feels like anxiety or I have to use or like trapped feelings, all that stuff. It's just not true. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's get back to the wall. So because I think this is what we want to kind of get past today, right? Like if we could make some movement today in this session, it would be to get past this wall. So let's get back to the wall. And I think other people can relate to this wall that you're experiencing. So it comes up for you when you ask for help, right? And when else? Because I don't believe that's it. I think there's like more to it. There's something about, or tell me, is there something about financially being successful? Like, what is that like for you to be financially successful? Is there a block there? What's money like for you? I know that there's the efforting, and we want to keep that on the table. We're going to talk about that and overgive, overdoing, and where are my boundaries and that stuff. But I wonder if there's another block there.
Yes. Well, the financial thing is huge. So when I started my own business 9 years ago, 9 years ago. So I have a business now. Actually, it's one business with two businesses. One, I'm a freelance writer, and the other one is a little bit different, but it's still writing. And I guess the money thing is with them both, because when I started freelancing 9 years ago, I had to match at least half of my salary from when I left my corporate job. And for me, and I, in my head or in my heart, maybe I'm like, money doesn't equal success, but in how I'm moving through the world is that I want to be financially successful. So I'm at the point where I didn't choose a career to make a lot of money. Obviously I'm a writer, right? But as I've gotten older and I've been through this and I've seen other people who are doing better, other writers who are doing better financially. And with even with this new business, I know it's possible to make money and be financially okay. And I don't. So, yes, there's this whole piece that I don't know what's holding me back. Now, for a backstory, I've been reading about abundance and mindset and all of that stuff. And I still have not figured out how to make that all work for me, for what I want. So, yes, the financial piece is a thing, too.
So, growing up, what did you learn? Like, what was your parents' relationship with money? What was their relationship with success? What did it look like?
Oh, good thing my parents don't listen to podcasts. You know, I grew up middle class, but I lived in a 3-family house. I shared a room with my brother until I was a teenager. I got my own room when I was a teenager. And growing up, I don't know if this is true or not, but money seemed to be tight. And my first job was when I was, it was before 8th grade. I had a paper route because that was something that was very, my mom was always, you know, how can we bring in more money? And that was all her thing. I don't know whether it was true, but I started working, you know, with a paper route. Maybe I was 12. I can give you one time I filled up a whole legal pad, like the front page of different jobs I've had since I was 13. There's a lot. I've been working my whole life, basically. And money was, yeah, it was tight. And actually, things for my parents have like really, really improved. And I always worried about it. And I'm 41. And I wish that I could tell my 10-year-old self that everything is going to turn out okay. But it didn't feel like that because it was just a kid. So yeah, I certainly did not grow up with an abundance mindset.
Like money was something that you guys really had to chase and work really hard for and always feel there was not enough of it. And there was more work to be done. You had to find out more ways to make money. And so there was not an even exchange of energy between money, right? It seems like you put a lot of energy in the output, but not on the input with money. And so with your current business, it seems like you feel there's so much output and there's just not enough input to match it. Does that resonate with you?
That's exactly my problem. Yes. Output. I put so much output and I'm not getting enough in. Yes, that's perfect.
Right. And so there's this, the energy has been imbalanced and all this energy you put out, because money is just energy. It's just telling us it's information, right? I know you've read that somewhere, right? So there, you're just telling you, you know, if you're imbalanced and so you're out of balance. And so you're scurrying and putting all this energy in. Well, and let's get real here. Okay. Building your own business is hard and it is a lot of money. And so I definitely want to shift us into talking about your fear of success, because if you have a fear of failure, I'm sure that's in there. But certainly when we are overgivers, sometimes we more likely have a fear of success because, and that can be our block too, because what is it going to ask of you? You're working so hard to build. What's going to happen when you're successful? How hard you're going to be working? I just wonder if you potentially have a fear of expectations of what this is going to be like for you, how much work it's going to ask of you. How much it's going to take from you? How long can you endure all this working, balance the family? And so just the perception that you might have, because that's been your balance, your energy with money your whole life has been imbalanced. That imbalance is showing up potentially also what your expectations might be looking ahead versus just even how you feel right now. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So does that resonate with you? What do you think about that? About being successful and what it will take for you?
That's interesting because I never thought that I would have a fear of success, but sometimes, not now that you mention it, sometimes for my other business, the one that I'm struggling with, there's a lot of, I feel like there's a lot of networking type stuff that I have to do, and I'm introverted. So networking takes a lot out of me first. And second, there are some things that are at night and I have 2 kids and my husband has a pretty involved job. So during the week, it's me. And there's so much more effort. If I need to go to something at night or want to go to something, there's just this whole other, all this organizing that I have to do. And then I'll miss something for my kids. So is the level of success going to affect what I've built as a parent? I'm sure that goes back to, you know, my upbringing and whatnot about how I show up for my kids. So in a way, I went freelance. I went out on my own 9 years ago because I wanted to be able to be a certain type of parent for my kids. But I have ADHD and so learning disabilities. And they weren't really diagnosed when I was in high school. So I never really got help because I overcompensated for things. So no one ever thought, because it seemed like I was okay. But so when I was in high school, I just wanted to get out of high school. I did all these internships, even in high school, because I was going to be, my career was going to, that was going to save me. I didn't need to, you know, be super successful academically, but I was going to be super successful as in my career. And so when I became a parent, I approached parenthood in the exact same way that I was going to make my career super, you know, successful. So I still want that other, the career part. I'm afraid that what is success for my business going to mean, you know, for parenting, or, you know, what is yes. that going to look like?
And so I just want to comment too that just to bring in some awareness for you, I'm sure you already know this, but I mean, as a person with ADD, right, an empath of ADD, right? A lot of us empaths actually have some level of ADD, but you're basically hyper-focusing and you are using a ton of push-through energy in order to get anything done. So no wonder why it's so much work, because as an ADD person, it requires you, right? It's not like, oh, you know, I'm going to focus on this thing and whip it out and get it done in 5 minutes and then move on to this next thing and whip it out and get it done. As a person with ADD, we tend to draw upon our powers. They are superpowers. And that superpower is to hyper-focus. And we cannot, you know, we can knock shit out, excuse me, but we can really knock stuff out of the park and we can really bring it. But there is a price that we pay to that hypervigilance, to our energy system. And our energy system can only hold so much hypervigilance. And then it's so depleted, it needs to be replenished. And so if we're not doing the right kind of self-care as an ADD person, as an empath, we can really burn out fast because we're not machines. You need to hear you're not a machine, right? You're not a machine. And it's right. Did you feel that? Like, you're not a machine. And
I know.
Can you feel an emotion that comes up a little bit when I say that to you?
I'm just really like, yes, I'm feeling a little emotional in general, but I can be hype. So I'm not that super energetic running around kind of ADD. I'm the like inner ADHD. So like when I'm working on something, I am hyper focused and that's how I approach. That's just how I do things. Hyper focus on everything.
Yes. Yes. And us people who hyper focus, it is the main tool how we, you know, some people have 15 different tools, how they manage their business. And we have really one really massive bomb that we drop, right? And is our hyper-focus skill to like go down a hole. We can do four things at once, you know, and have four things going at once. And then everybody wants to tell us to do it differently. But it's very difficult for our brains to do it differently. And so that hyper-focusing is beautiful. It's a gift. I like to look at it as a gift. And it also requires replenishment. It also requires you to know you're not a machine. And if you're not doing that part, you're going to be burnt out, exhausted, brain fog, not productive. Productivity is going to go down. And then we're going to just hook into, because listen, when we're talking about success in business, I think we always have to look for where's the shame. But for empaths who have ADD, there's always a shame spot. Because as an ADD person, as a kid, you were hiding something. And we only hide something when we feel shame around it, right? So you were hiding that you weren't following people. You were hiding that you lost your attention on something. You know, you were hiding in class that some teacher was calling on you, and then you were mortified because you didn't even know where they were at or what they were talking about because you were daydreaming, right? And so we are hiding a lot, right? We're pretending. And so then sometimes we get the imposter syndrome where we get into business later in life and we're like, I have fooled everybody my whole life and everybody thinks I'm brilliant. I'm on task. I'm so focused, right? Like I am the master manipulator in terms of everybody seeing me the way I want them to. And the question is, how do I maintain that in this business, right? And then the shame comes up. And then shame comes up. And the shame is that I'll be seen, that this isn't, this failure is going to be, if this business doesn't work and it fails, and the shame is it's because I'm not good enough. The core wound is I'm not good enough, right? So that's the block we're really working with, right? We can talk about asking for help and finances, but I think that shame is probably one of the biggest saboteurs.
So I'll tell you this, when I was in high school, all of my friends are like top of my class. Like I was friends with the valedictorian, right? And because my learning disabilities went undiagnosed, I didn't, you know, get what I needed in high school. No one would guess. And even when I tell people today, I'm like, oh, I'm ADD. No one believes me. And you seem so put together. And I guess I didn't really think about how much effort it takes me to be put together.
Much more effort. So much more effort than the average person. And so when you look at my efforting, that was the word you used, right? Efforting. I'm efforting so much. It's exhausting because at a baseline, you're already efforting more, right?
Yeah. Yeah. When I was a kid, like I just remember having a very like messy desk or messy backpack. You know, I never got in trouble for interrupting or anything like that, but I was just messy. And today I'm still messy.
The executive functioning stuff, right? Like organizing.
Yeah. So that's where I would struggle. And I'm still embarrassed by it. So
that's why a lot of us are perfectionists. Just want to call that out. That's why you're a perfectionist, is because you have to be in order to effort and make sure everybody knows that you're good. That's why your bathroom needs to be so clean. Because everybody needs to see how well you have it together because of the ADD, right?
So what's an empath to do? If this is all in shame and in business, so how does an empath, like, how do I untangle all this to get to where I actually want to be? I don't know.
The very first step is you bring it to the surface like we're doing right now. You become aware of the underlying drives that are happening, like these beliefs, these stories, these, you know, fears of imposter, perfectionism, all these things. It's not this huge mountain as much as it just is that we need to acknowledge them and watch with curiosity when they show up. And in the moment when they show up, you have to tell your nervous system that you're safe. You have to tell yourself that you are loved. You have to forgive yourself for being imperfect. When you have the drive, just to stick with the funny story, to go to the bathroom after it's already been clean, sit back and take a nice deep breath and say, I love and accept you right now, right here, right now, exactly how I am, how my house is. I don't owe anybody anything except for the people that I love. Because with ADD, there is a lot of, and being an empath plays a role. And so that's why it makes it a little different when you're an empath and a person with ADD, is that what people think of you and how people think and judge you is painful. And so it becomes, you know, we have an overvigilance to it. We care a lot. And so if you could also forgive yourself for that, notice when it's coming up and take, whenever you notice this stuff coming up, you take a deep breath, You slow down your nervous system by taking 3 deep breaths. Drop your shoulders, let your arms get heavy. Put your hands on your heart and simply say, I love you anyway. Don't worry about it. And move on. Detach. Don't go back into the bathroom. If you really just want to say, I want to try this. I want to see what it's like to just, and I mean, I'm just using that as the example. I'm sure there's something more, much more important, but you'll find it with business, right? Like how you might be critical, how you might judge yourself, how you're showing up, how you're worried about how you're presenting to other people. Just noticing, slowing down the nervous system, putting your hands on your heart, and saying, I love you. I love you anyway. It's safe. One of the mantras that I've shared with others that somebody said to me once when I was in my energy medicine school for a while, they were like, Michelle, they pointed out to me that I was having some similar stuff. And basically, we were supposed to do this work where we're supposed to come up with a mantra that we need to say to ourselves. And I share it because I feel like it helps a lot of perfectionistic empaths. And it is this: I am everything. We are all everything. I am brilliant and smart, and I'm really ditzy and dumb sometimes. I'm super clean and organized and really good at design. I love like designing a room, right? But then I'm a mess, right? I'm all of it. And if I can just say, I'm everything, we are all everything. Every one of us, every human is everything. I'm awkward and weird and socially anxious sometimes. And other times I'm like, I got the room. I got it all. That we're everything, that we can stop hyper-focusing on what we're judging as not good about ourselves, right? And so sometimes a mantra like that can just be helpful in the moment. And you just say it, I am safe. Are my kids okay? Is my husband okay? That's all that matters. But if also we have food, yep, okay. And your nervous system needs to untangle because it's driving the show, right? It's visceral. The feeling's visceral first, then the thoughts probably, right? Or vice versa. But does that make sense? Is that?
Yeah. And I guess I didn't really think about how all this could be connected before this conversation. I mean, because you connected shame from like childhood or how I overcompensate for things to how it could be affecting my business. And that's something that I haven't thought about before.
The shame and the over-efforting, I think, are two big things. The over-efforting requires you to care as much about yourself. You know, the moment you know that moment when you judge other people's needs, your business's needs, as more important than your own. If you were to check out how many times I do that a day, it's probably pretty huge. And when we look at illness, when we look at chronic illness, when we look at physical illnesses, we do know that like 85% of people with autoimmune issues are women. And all of those women are overgivers, overextenders. They see the needs that are present in front of them. I think that goes into that because we're sensitive, intuitive beings, and we are sensitive, our energy fields are thinner. The people's energies come in easier for us than other, you know, general people. There's a spectrum for empaths, and there's a spectrum of humans. There are some humans that walk in a room and they have no idea. They're completely blind to whatever's going on, right? They're a bull in a china shop. We walk into a room and I'm like, okay, she's upset. Somebody's mad here. We don't like the energy, or the energy feels great, right? We feel everybody's stuff. And so we, as a young kid, as a way to cope, we've learned to be very over-vigilant of the environment around you. You were very vigilant of how your parents' anxiety was going and how, right? So we are vigilant. And so we take that sensitivity, our gift, and we put it, all the focus outward. And so then we get into our like 40s and 30s and we're like, I want to be intuitive because that's my calling. And then we realize that like, we've been putting all this energy outward. And the work of intuition, why I think it's one of the greatest mental health tools, is because we take that energy, that sensitivity, that gift, and we bring it inward and we stop going out. It teaches us boundaries with other people, but it also teaches you to get your answers and knowing inward. And if you could do that with your business, if you could sit before you make any decisions, if you could sit before you do a project, if you could sit before every day before you start your work and say, you know, what is today need, you know, where, ask yourself intuitively, what do I need today to be? What's going to feed my soul? What's going to feed my business is going to feed my soul to accomplish today. And work more intuitively versus anxiously trying to make sure that the business looks so good to everybody, right? Like we're doing all, and there's so many rabbit holes, I know, as a person in business, to like watch this training and do this thing, right? And like learn everything there is to learn, which is also what we do as ADD people, as business holders. We love information. So we love to learn, right? But I call that procrastinating learning, right? So if you took these beautiful gifts that you have, because you have these beautiful gifts, you're very intuitive, you're very in tune with people. If you could take these gifts that you have and really start putting a practice in every day of focusing, bring all that inward. What do you feel? What emotions come up when you think about this project? Does it like, oh, no, 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 this feels terrible. I don't want to do this. What do you want to do? What feels good? What lights you up? Because a lot of us, because we're in this like people pleasing, but also in this ADD world that you're in of like perfectionism and push and hyper-focus, we can go down a lot of rabbit holes that aren't the right ones because we're coming from the head versus the heart. And when we work solely in the head, we get brain fog, burnout, we're exhausted. Right? When we're just everything overthinking, overanalyzing, we have so many thoughts a minute. So it's like, which ones do I choose? But if we get into the heart and sit every day, just 10 minutes, 5 minutes before you start your work, what feels right for me today? And what is this all for? Right? What are you doing all this for? All this efforting.
It's for me though, the whole thing. It's tough. This is for me.
I love it. And what is it for you? What is it? What is this, all this hard work for? What is it that you want?
Oh, that's where you're going.
Yeah.
To prove to myself that I can be as successful as other people who might not, I don't know, maybe, you know, they have it easier with academics or they are better at math. That's what it's for. Like, I want the success part. I want to have some, to like, I am just as good as other people. Yes. Okay. There you go.
So what is just new? That you were as good as other people, would you still do this business?
Oh yeah, because I do love what I'm doing. Yes, absolutely.
So because some part of that, I'm doing this to prove to myself that I'm as good as other people. That proving energy, right? It's not feeding your soul. That proving energy every day is going to show you how you're not as good. Because every day there's going to be something that doesn't work. It's going to be something you don't get done. Every day there's going to be a failure. And every day it's going to be like, here's your wound button. Prompt, going to hit your wound button and be like, yeah, you suck. And then comes the feelings of overwhelm. Why am I doing this? Right. And you question yourself. So I would ask you to change your narrative. And so maybe you need to write this down a bunch, journal about it. But changing your narrative from I need to prove myself to I need to access and use all my gifts, right? You're here as a creative soul. You have a purpose here. You have a purpose to inspire. You have a purpose to, well, you could tell me what your purpose is, but I know just as an empath and as me talking to you for a few minutes, I think you're creative. And I think it's a really important part of you putting yourself out there is creating something, but it's not small. It doesn't feel small. It needs to be big. And that's asking a lot of your current ego, right? So changing your narrative to not, I need to prove this to myself. I mean, you know that you're good enough somewhere. There's a part of you that knows that you would never have started this business because it would have been a complete, you would have been totally paralyzed. You know you're good enough. And if it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks and it only matters what you think, then why else would you be doing this? Can your motivation not be fueled by fear, but joy? And so when you say, I'm proving myself that I'm not good enough, you're running away from something. You're running away from not being good enough. Right? You're running away from something. I want you to run towards something versus run away from something. Does that make sense? So if you're running towards something, you are focused on the prize. You are doing what fills your soul. You're stepping into your purpose, which is to be creative, to build a place that inspires people, that gives to people. You want to be a space holder in your writing. You want to do all the things that light you up. And that is not about proving whether or not you're good enough, because innately by breathing, you're good enough. Just because you're breathing, you're good enough. And it's the old little girl pain that you're not. And so
I want to reiterate. Okay. So instead of, what you're saying is to focus on doing things that make me feel good and excited. Okay. I just wanted to make sure that's what you mean toward running towards the prize.
Yeah, so it's just, I think that it's not just, yes, it's doing things that feel good, but it's also kind of shifting your motivation, because your motivation right now is based on sort of being like afraid that it's not going to work out, or afraid, right? Like you have to prove something. But if you could really change your internal story, right, by saying, repeating to yourself when you take that deep breath and you slow down, just by breathing right now, all is well in my world. I'm good enough. And this business is not about me being good enough. This business is about the expression of my gifts, my purpose in the world. And however that unfolds, however long it takes, right, it is going to be good enough for me too, right? Because it's just what you're supposed to be doing. And then you look at your money stuff and how much you're charging and all that stuff around, like, you know, how, well, or fears that come up that blocks you from money, asking for health, and all the other stuff that we talked about today. But the baseline is healing the shame and changing your story that you are good enough. And this business has nothing to do with it.
Oh, it's funny though that I started this business, because I couldn't get, like, years ago, I started a business that I really wanted to work in when I was in my early 20s. And I couldn't get that kind of job. It just didn't happen. So I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to start it myself. So that's
strength. Look at that good stuff right there, right? Like, let's talk about your strength before we end here. Okay. Like, you are tenacious. Right? You keep going. It gets hard and you still show up. I mean, wow. You really have continued to push through rejections. You've pushed through it not working out. You've pushed through having children and family and still doing this thing. I think you probably would benefit from making a list of all the things you are accomplishing every day, and not the list that just are the things that are left to do. Like, you need to see that you are badass and that you're kicking ass and you're doing well. It's just that your expectations are an issue, right?
Was it the effort? I'm putting all this effort in.
Yes, I know. Yes. Yeah. You know, another really cool thing that would be neat for you to do if you're open to it in all your free time, I know, but I do believe that all this work we do that feeds our soul and gets us connected with ourselves actually makes us, our business, better. Like, if I'm doing this work, like, all this stuff starts coming in. But when I'm just hustle, like, I'm feeling like nothing's working out. And I do believe that's true for most people. So I think a cool exercise for you would be to sit down after this or this weekend, or if you have some free time, and write a letter to yourself. From, you probably heard something like this before, there's different variations, but write a letter to yourself from 2 years from now when your business is a success, right? It's a total success. What does it look like? Have your future self write to you now to tell you advice of how to get through this time, what kind of wonderful things are happening in the future, and what you need to know about you, about your growth, about what you're capable of. Does that sound okay? Does that sound?
Yeah, that sounds good. That's a good idea. I like it.
Because there's a part of you, I believe you would kind of resonate with this, but your higher self, like, it knows the deal. You're just not tapping into it, right? So, like, there's a part of you that already has an idea of how this is all going to go. There's a part of you that really believes in you, knows your gift, knows what you're capable of, and understands that there's so much possibility here for you and believes you're going to do it and knows it and has information to give you. And just even writing that, I want you to imagine that you're channeling that higher self, that you're just free writing, allowing it to flow, and you're just allowing that your intuitive higher self to kind of come through and speak to you. It's going to be like, you know, maybe it's your spirit guides tripping in. Maybe it's just allowing that higher knowledge of your life path because you're on a path. Anything else that we needed to talk?
Oh, this was fun. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I wasn't really sure what to expect, yeah. But this was excellent. Thank you so much.
Awesome. Oh, I'm so glad. Makes me happy.
Thank you for listening to Into the Work Therapy for Empaths and Seekers. Don't forget to grab your free gift, your Shadow Work Transformation Bundle at michellepoverman.com. I've included everything you need to get started, to break through the patterns of self-sabotage and finally start to heal the parts of yourself that are getting in the way of truly reaching your potential. From a powerful meditation designed to help you meet and embrace your shadow self, to the guide that's full of curated prompts and important questions to support you on this journey. This really can be the work for you to unmask the root cause of all the issues you've been experiencing, honestly, and start to feel free to believe in yourself and go for what you want. The link for this free bundle is in the show notes. And if you like this episode, I would be so grateful if you could take a moment and rate, click and follow, and leave a review. Of course, you can always follow me on socials at Michelle Poverman. And keep in mind, as you embark on your journey from spark to brilliance, remember, the universe is always conspiring in favor of your awakening. Everything that's happening is in support of you lighting your own fire within. So until we meet again, may your path be well lit and your heart be guided. Shine bright, seekers, until next time.